Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Proverbs in chapter 8. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the earth's or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Some of you have undoubtedly heard a story that I picked up years ago, but a boy in India who was asking his father about the world. And so he asked his father, "What holds the world up?" And his father thinks for a minute and he says, "Well, it's on the back of an elephant." And the boy thinks for a moment and asks, "Okay, so what's the elephant standing on?" Father thinks for a moment and he says, standing on a turtle. "So what's the turtle standing on?" "Well, it's standing on a tiger." "Oh, so what's the tiger standing on?" An elephant." "And what's that elephant standing on?" Another elephant." "Well, what's that elephant standing on?" Father thinks for a minute and he says, "It's elephants all the way down." We're kind of like that, I think, in some ways, as we consider the mysteries of the universe. My guess is that thinking about the sciences of astrophysics and astronomy and such, that we know only the barest amount about the universe. Yet at times, we act as though it's all ours. So let's think about mystery. Now, scientifically, I think scientists are just about getting to the point where they can understand at least part of what holds the universe together. If we want to think about what holds the world together, the quick answer would be gravity. That's what keeps everything from flying off and into the cosmos. But if you wanted to find a theological answer, and I'm not talking about how long it took God to create the world or all that stuff, but instead, what it is that holds the world together, we can really say it's God's wisdom. Wisdom, as we find in the Old Testament, is personified in the book of Proverbs. Now, and personified in a female way. This is really interesting. Wisdom here is not a deity, not an angel, not some sort of created being. But I think the author of this chapter personifies wisdom to talk about God as creator. And if wisdom could speak, what would she say? Well, we have one answer here. What we find is that wisdom is the means by which God created the world and by which God holds it together. Now, you can't quantify that. Scientists are not going to come to that conclusion. But if we think in terms of our faith, that is very true. And wisdom, as she tells us in this chapter, was present with God as the world, as the universe, was created. Now, when we think about the creation of the world, there are obviously many viewpoints on how that took place. Every single culture in the world has a creation story of how the world came about. In the modern world, we do have our own slant on it, looking at the various elements that make up the universe, that make up the earth. How do they all come together? What sparked life? And that is all a deep mystery. And when we explore that mystery, we are really looking into the mind of God. There's only so much we can read out of that mind. But we are looking into the mind of God. That is a profound, profound ministry or mystery. I want to read to you another passage. It's similar to the passage that I just read from Proverbs 8. This is from the book of Sirach, or the book of wisdom. It's in what's called the Apocrypha by Protestants. The Apocrypha is a collection of writings that were written about a couple hundred years before the time of Jesus. And they're not considered scriptural by most Protestants. They are, if you grew up Roman Catholic, you probably would be familiar with the Book of Wisdom and some of the other books as well. But it's still wonderful literature. It's beautiful literature. And this is from the beginning of the Book of Wisdom. All wisdom is from the Lord, and with him it remains forever. The sand of the sea, the drops of rain, the days of eternity. Who can count them? The height of heaven, the breadth of the earth, the abyss and wisdom, who can search them out? Wisdom was created before all other things, and prudent understanding from eternity. The root of wisdom, to whom has it been revealed? Her subtleties, who knows them? There is but one who was wise, greatly to be feared, seated upon his throne, the Lord. It is he who created her. He saw her and took her measure. He poured her out upon his works, upon all the living according to his gift. He lavished her upon those who love him. So in the Jewish tradition, wisdom is that means by which God creates the world. And it is possible to tap into that wisdom. In the Christian tradition, wisdom has been, or Jesus has sometimes been seen as the embodiment of God's wisdom. Think back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was created by God except through him. And so when we think about discipleship, discipleship is not simply the matter of making God a part of our lives. What discipleship really is recognizing that God is our life. God is not just a little pigeonhole or a little pocket or just one little tiny piece of our brain like a computer battery that always stays on. No, it's our entire being. And that never goes away. As we think about our relationship with God, it's really important to remember this, that God does not come and go. God is the reason that we exist, and without God, we would not exist and we couldn't sustain life. And so as we ponder this mystery, and I invite you to do that, this is not academic, this is the foundation of who we are. Think about the profound mystery of God's wisdom. Do it when you're out in nature, if you're climbing a mountain or sitting down at the ferry and watching the Connecticut River, or out on a pond kayaking or canoeing or swimming. Think about the vast mystery of God, and it'll change you. And this is something that should always be in our hearts and minds. So it won't surprise you if I say that Sunday morning worship is not enough. I can't provide you during these 15-ish minutes with everything that you need for the week in terms of your spiritual life. It's impossible. We all need to feed ourselves as well. And an awareness of the wisdom of God surrounding us in what we can see in creation, but also what we know to be true in our hearts, is a way to build that relationship. As at least some of you know, Anita and I go kayaking out on the Connecticut River. We haven't been because every time we wanted to go, it's been raining, but we'll get out there eventually. Anybody know how deep the Connecticut River is down at the ferry landing? It's about 23, 24 foot. The river actually is as deep as 160 some odd feet up in Massachusetts, but not around here. And of course, by the time the river has gotten here, it's fairly level, and the water spreads out and flows, of course, down to Long Island Sound. A thought that often comes to me when I'm sitting in a kayak on the river is that the water is holding me up. Now, you'll probably say, yeah, of course. But think about that. When you're flying in a plane, the air is holding you up. Don't take that for granted. Think about that. The air and the water and the ground all hold us up. What an incredible thing that is. So this leads into the next thing that we can consider as we think about the wisdom of God, and that is wonder. Every one of us has probably seen our own children or somebody else look at a flower, and the child will say, "Wow, that's beautiful." But as adults, how many of us will drive past a beautiful flower garden, maybe take a glancing look and think, "Well, that's nice," without really considering the wonder of that part of creation? Not all adults have lost the gift of wonder, but it's easy. We all know. You're preoccupied with earning a living and taking care of elderly parents and raising your children, paying your mortgage and doing all the things that we do in order to get along in life, and it's easy to forget about wonder. My challenge to you would be to work on that gift of wonder. I'm very fortunate that I have never lost that, and I got that from my father, who also never lost the sense of wonder in the world. Find yourself something that interests you in nature and sit down and contemplate it. And if you truly contemplate the profound nature of whatever it is you're looking at, it will change you. It will change you, and much for the better. So we come to the title of the sermon and the picture on the front, which, as you can see, is the foundation of a house being built. What this is about is finding the foundation, finding our foundation. We find it through wonder and through the mystery of the wisdom of God. When I'm out on the river, I always enjoy looking down into the water, and if the water is still and there isn't a lot of sediment or other stuff in the soil, you can see down into the water. You get closer to the edge, you can see the plants that are growing underneath, that are growing out of the mud at the bottom of the riverbed. And sometimes they project out if the tide is low or if the water level is low. But it always fascinates me to look into that water, to look below the surface and see what's there. Occasionally a fish will go by, or an insect will come skipping across the surface of the water. Regain that sense of wonder if you think you've lost it. And in exploring the mystery of the wisdom of God, look below the surface. Look below the surface and see what awaits you. Amen.